You're listening to 42 Macros Pro to Pro Live, hosted by Darius Dale.
Howdy, Team 42. It's your skipper here at Darius Dale to welcome you to another episode of 42 Macro Pro to Pro. I'm joined with Ava Ados and Joel Schumann from Entrepreneur Shares. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you very much for having us on your show.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Real pleasure to see you guys and be with you guys. So I'll give the audience a little bit of background. I met you guys in the Fox Business Green Room. We were on Charles Payne's show, Making Money, back to back together. And I had just finished my interview, and then Ava was on, and I was listening to her pitch. I want to say your XOVR ETF, and it was the first time I'd ever seen a vehicle that had daily liquidity for private equity exposure, and my brain exploded. I'm not even kidding you. And when I realized you were with Ava, I immediately introduced myself to you and said, "Hey, man, I got to get you on our show in front of our clients. This is real innovation. I think people would really want to see this kind of product." So, Joel, despite being a Harvard guy, you were really nice and obliged. And Ava, appreciate your time here as well. So, I'd love to get a little bit of background even before we kind of unpack what you guys are doing for clients at Entrepreneur Shares. You know, I have this belief that, you know, all companies really are just people who kind of get together to solve other people's problems for money. And so give me a little bit of background on how you guys started Entrepreneur Shares.
Well, we launched about 20 years ago. I'm originally an academic. I've been running professional money for 20 years. We started a long short equity hedge fund out of some research we did, which basically invests in publicly traded entrepreneurial companies. And then at the time we were shorting the opposite, which were known as bureaucratic companies. And so this Entrepreneur Shares, we were one of the first thematics where we invest in these companies that are entrepreneurial, disruptive, innovative. Some other people later made it more famous, raised more money. But all the research in that area is really our research going back to 2000. Well, actually, even prior to 2005, our research goes back much further.
Wow.
And then Ava joined about 6 years ago, and she has been part of the team ever since. You know, she's very, very strong in media. She's on a lot of shows, like the one you were on together in Fox Business, and she's on CNBC a few times a month, and Yahoo Finance and Bloomberg. So we've had a lot of fun.
Oh, of course you have. And so what's the core thesis behind the research that you produce? Obviously, it's one thing to say we like entrepreneurial companies and we don't like bureaucratic companies, but like, what's the sort of, don't give me the secret sauce, but like, what's the gist of it?
So I'll kick in, and then Ava, please interrupt me whenever you want, okay? So I'll start off. Basically, you can't go to a Bloomberg or a Capital IQ or a FactSet and say, "Find me the entrepreneurial companies." And every Mag 7 leader at the beginning was, they're all entrepreneurs. Every Mag 7 you look at was an entrepreneurial company. So Meta or Facebook and Amazon, Tesla is probably the best example now with Elon Musk. Every one of these great companies had an entrepreneur at the core. They create jobs. This is a group that creates wealth for themselves and other stakeholders. And so they start off that way. We were in NVIDIA back in 2005 when we started.
Wow.
NVIDIA is one of our very first stocks. And as I look at my portfolios each day, it reminds me of what I had in the beginning. If we just left it alone, it'd be 90% of our portfolio today. And that includes stocks like Amazon and Apple and Tesla and Facebook. So we got into these things. And basically what we do, it's more than just a founder CEO. We look at the way the organization is set up. So these entrepreneurial companies, they grow differently. They grow through organic means. That the entrepreneur leaders, they have skin in the game. They stay in there a long time. Their teams are kept tight. The way they compensate themselves is different. They get paid biggest, but they get paid last. So if you look at all these metrics that, we put together 15, and then after, Ava joined, we added another 3-4 more, we're constantly tweaking them out. So now it's like 18, 19 variables. But we have a model that looks at 67,000 publicly traded companies around the world. And we sort it, by different geographic regions and market caps and size. And what we're left with then, in the U.S., we have our Entrepreneur 30 Total Return Index. So one of the things, the power behind our methodology is this index, the ER30TR, that people can look up online. And it shows the performance of these entrepreneurs going all the way back, to 2005. But it's the metrics that we use to kind of identify. And then when we saw you, we were talking about XOVR. So the thing about XOVR, our new product, and by the way, again, Ava, you, Darius, you have to know I tend to talk too much. So Ava, just jump in when you want.
No worries. I'm loving it.
Ava, you got to jump in here. So when we have, when we look at XOVR, we rebranded and relaunched the fund in August 29th of last year, of 24. Prior to that, we had something called ENTR, which was our actively traded, you know, ETF, but it actually underperformed our own index. We have an index, the ER30TR, that underperformed. And we said last year, like, why are we have the best index going. Why are we not just in that index and then add privates to it? Because as you know, privates, just as ETFs have grown 10 to 12 trillion now, privates independently have been growing also 10 to 12 trillion in the same time period, you know, in parallel paths. And we said, this just makes no sense that you've got all these great companies like SpaceX and XAI and all these other great OpenAI, all these great companies that individual investors cannot get into. They can't get into these things unless they're an accredited investor or an institution. And so when you see a company like SpaceX, which has grown just in the last year and a half, 2 years, from 100 billion of market cap to now 350 billion of market cap, and that's a 3 to 4x just in the last 2 years that retail investors have been shut out. Mm. So one of the things that we do, and by the way, I'm going to give a shout out to Ava since she came up with this. So since she's not interrupting me, at least I can give her credit. She came up with the term democratizing. What is the term you use, Ava? Democratizing.
It was so hard for the average person to get access to these companies. And I know my peer group loves SpaceX, for example, and we have the research behind to back it up why it's so much better than NASA. So we're like, why can't everyone get access to this pre-IPO? Why can we not make it accessible to every person out there with no minimum requirement? Because there are closed-end funds that require a much higher minimum requirement of investment, or they're not marked to market. They're not liquid, just like we are. So we were like, let's create the easiest vehicle possible for literally the average person out the door to get access to such a great company that so many people follow, and they love the technology behind it, and they're admirers of what Elon has created, but they can't get access to it.
Wow. So talk to me about the vehicle itself, because that's where my head exploded. I mean, I genuinely was taken aback listening to your pitch on Fox Business. And I said, how in the world can you have daily liquidity in a private asset? Like, what's the structure behind that? What's the innovation?
Percent plus are in the ER30TR index, the total return index, is very liquid. These are very large, high profile names like AppLovin, you know, Tesla's in there, of course, and some others, but these are all large caps. So they're over 10 billion, and some are, you know, a trillion plus, but these are large, very liquid. So that's the primary basket. So you know, if you came in, and by the way, we've had thousands of investors in the last you know, month plus. You know, since we got SpaceX, we were considered last month one of the hottest, the fastest growing ETF in the marketplace. So a lot of people want access to SpaceX. There's only, you know, a few options to get in. We're the only ETF to do it. The other options, you know, are 5%+ you know, costs and their, you know, their liquidity constraints and they may be trading at a huge premium to net asset value. So we're the only vehicle out there that's an ETF. It's 75 basis points, so it's really cheap. It's a fraction of what, you know, closed-end funds or interval funds or something may be. There's daily liquidity because you can go in and out based on our Entrepreneur 30 index, which is very liquid. There's no minimum size, so other places might require, you know, if you had to buy it from a source that sells private equity, even if you're qualified, you have to put in a minimum of, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, or some other places, even interval funds, you know, be 1,000+ or what, you know, 500+. You know, there's some minimum size. Ours is no minimum. We're trading pretty darn close to net asset value, which is a huge benefit. Other, you know, closed-end fund might be 10x, 10 times net asset value, which means you're paying $10 for a $1 candy bar. And that's it. There's no lockup. So you're able to go in and out. We give you access, you know, to this because the liquidity comes from the other 85%. And SpaceX is a buy and hold. We love this, and we're probably going to add more to the fund. Ava, did I miss anything?
Consistent with our model of investing in entrepreneurial companies. So we use the same, Joel mentioned previously, the 18 to 20 to 19 attributes. These attributes form our entrepreneur factor. And so every holding that we have, public holding, has to meet this factor. In fact, we rate them based on, you know, like how entrepreneurial they are. And we end up getting the 30 most entrepreneurial in our index. So now the VC model that we use for the public equity market, obviously extended in the private equity, that's where it was formed. And so this is just an extension of the same model into the private equity market. So we follow the exact same strategy. We just add into our universe private equities.
By the way, that's a very important point just to accentuate that. We actually started our thesis on the VC model, right? We said, how do VCs go into companies? And we built our concept, our entrepreneur model on this. And what Ava referred to, the entrepreneur factor, at the end of the day, the alpha that comes out, if it's adjusted for sector and size and geography and all these things, the alpha that comes out is known as the entrepreneur factor. And if you look at our model, you know, our index over time, that's what pops out, this entrepreneur factor. And so it's not as if we just decided one day we're going to plop SpaceX in there because it's a big company. It actually is an extension of our model. And what happens is sometimes, you know, when other people, you know, are creating models, you know, if they put something in, it may not be consistent with their strategy. This is a pure blend. It's in fact, we started on the private side and then we brought it to the public side. So for us to go back and put in a SpaceX or some of these others, it's consistent with our brand. It's consistent with our strategy. It's consistent with everything. And by way of background, a show that Ava went to prior to, you know, the prior day, Ava was at another network on a show. We ran into a CIO who was plopping in something called AppLovin, which, by the way, Ava, I don't know if you on the Pain Show where you saw Ava, she's been known all last year. She was, you know, talking about AppLovin. We've been in it for almost 2 years and it's gone up. It was the hottest fund last year, as you know, at NASDAQ. And we were in it the prior year as well. And we ran into a value manager who said, you know, he owned AppLovin. You know, he was the CIO of a major company. We said, how do you have AppLovin in your value fund, right? And he said, well, you know, so the problem is fundamentally when there's something hot, you know, people try and plop it in. And it's inconsistent with what their strategy should be. In our case, SpaceX is 100%, 110% consistent with our theme. We've been in Elon Musk since day one. And you know, as part of that, we've got other great entrepreneurs that we back as well in our models.
That makes sense. So talk to me about the different products you guys have over at Entrepreneur Shares. You sort of been alluding to XOVR, which is your flagship vehicle, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
What do you guys have other products as well?
So we have a global fund. It's actually last year was the number three fund on Morningstar last year. Wow. It did very well. You know, year to date is to, you know, early in the year, obviously. But we have a global fund, so we basically take our strategy and we apply it in lots of different ways. And we're creating a new ETF that's going to be taking the core Entrepreneur 30 as a pure play. So those are our initiatives right now. But we're really focused first and foremost. You know, we're putting 110% on XOVR. This is our flagship product, and we're really excited about it because we've got SpaceX in there. You know, we're trying to figure out better ways to increase the size and bring it to more parties, you know, globally. So we're working with various partners, and that's really what we're doing right now. We've got our hands full, you know, putting 110% energy in XOVR to try and get the best product we can, you know, to the individuals. And it's not only the SpaceX. We've got other privates we're in the process of putting in there. We're going to add more to SpaceX. And it's the Entrepreneur 30, the other part of it, you know, the 85%, which is really, you know, kind of a big part too. And we just rebalanced and we're excited about, you know, how that's doing. Last year was one of the top funds, and we're continuing, you know, to push it, you know, to make it better, you know, each day.
No, that's very impressive. What's the current sort of allocation mix between public and private in XOVR?
So it's going to max out at 15%. Okay, there's a, you know, SEC regulation. So max out 15%. We're going to be just beneath that, so we don't violate that that threshold. And we're looking at other mechanisms so that we can calibrate, you know, that percentage, you know, better. So we're working on that right now, some proprietary relationships and mechanisms to regulate that.
It's really interesting. I was going to say that that's, you know, one of the big great draws of private investing for the sort of most investors is the fact that the returns are smooth and the volatility is smooth. And you sort of, you know, at the bare minimum, you get prevented from selling in the worst of times. Obviously, layering on 85% publicly traded equities, you know, you could create some sort of, you know, opportunities for mismatch in market stress scenarios. I assume you guys have back tested and stressed your portfolio over time. You know, how do they perform in those types of environments, like say a COVID crash or a GFC or something like that? Not that we're predicting that, obviously.
But. Yeah, no, we understand. We need to be sensitive to that. We're a growth fund. Right. So we're going to move. Obviously, as interest rates, you know, are stable or declining, that's our best market. Yep. We've got there are entrepreneurial companies that we could put in to help mitigate risk. You know, in this market environment, when interest rates come down, we do great. But there are others that are more defensive in nature, that, you know, cash flow oriented. So we can calibrate as we see the market opportunity and or the your market direction. So if markets, and we're getting better and better, we're constantly refining our models. You know, we have valuation overlays and so forth to make sure, you know, we're putting in the best value products in there. And I'm being sensitive. So in rising interest rate environments, we're going to tilt a little bit more to those that are cash on cash, and lower relative valuations. So they're more conservative. In a high growth scenario, we're going to look more for those that are really kind of, you know, stretching the multiples on revenues, market cap to revenue. So we're very sensitive to those metrics. And you know, and again, we've got a number of overlays that we're constantly refining, making better. Ava, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, but it was a great question, Darius, because after all, we combine fundamental analysis, thematic, as well as macroeconomic. So the macroeconomic scenario and interest rates are a big factor of how we calibrate our model and our portfolio.
Oh, that's very helpful. Very helpful. So it sounds like there is I don't know if discretionary is probably might be too strong of a word, but there's certainly an element of absorbing and observing, you know, sort of current economic and or market conditions that dictates the relative weightings of the individual, companies in the index. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's fair to say. And also in terms of the sector weight. So, yep. You know, as we go to, you know, more conservative environments, you know, it's going to, you know, we'll take off some of the tech and, you know, put into other areas. So, you know, we've got our model primarily is based in four sectors. It's primarily IT, primarily in healthcare, communication services, and consumer discretionary, primarily. But, you know, we have financials we can go into, you know, as we see fit. We have some staples, you know, we have some energy. And so we can move around, you know, as we, you know, see fit. But we're primarily those four sectors. And, you know, we have high correlations to, for example, the Russell 1000 growth or the Qs. You know, we've dominated the Qs. You know, our index actually dominates the Qs over the last, you know, 20 years. You know, last year we did very well relative to all our peer benchmarks. You know, the last 2 years we've had you know, very strong performance and certainly, you know, certainly we're consistent with that growth aim.
Well, this is my brain has been enlightened. I'm definitely going to go check you guys out. I mean, it sounds like you guys have, like, if Tiger Global had a baby with Sequoia, That would be entrepreneur shares. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. Which, yeah. if anybody knows anything about institutional finance, that'd be a good looking kid. So definitely highly recommend you guys go check it out. I myself am going to go check it out. You know, I do believe there's a place for private assets in a portfolio. You know, obviously you have to consult your own investment advisors or your financial advisor or whatever to figure out what the appropriate mix of private and public assets are in your portfolio. But I do believe that there's certainly a lot of value you guys are creating. And this is just a broad trend that you guys are capturing as well. There's been a significant shift in the past, let's say 15 to 20 years away from public markets. We've seen the growth of the private credit asset class balloon over, I want to say, $1.5 trillion and or $2 trillion upwards of. We've seen the growth of the private fixed income markets, balloon. Obviously, the growth of venture capital and the amount of unicorns out there. You know, this has been a parallel track market. And if you're a retail investor, you've largely been shut out unless you, of course, are a high net worth accredited investor and you have the appropriate contacts, industry contacts to get you in the right deals, which not everyone has access to. So I congratulate you guys on doing something we find very instrumental to the core of our mission, which is democratizing the best of institutional finance for your clients as well.
Thank you, Darius. And you're spot on in those trends. And we couldn't agree more with what you just said. So thank you.
I appreciate you guys. It was a wonderful conversation. Looking forward to checking you guys out and keeping in touch.
All right. Thank you.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice. And 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.